It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And wowee, we had a few days of some really, really spring-like weather. I went to the Twin Cities for Easter. I left here on Saturday morning and came back on Monday morning, and the difference was absolutely shocking. I left here, and the catkins on the hazel were tight and not yielding any pollen. And by the time I got back here 3 days later, actually 2 days, let's see, it'd be Saturday, Sunday morning, Monday morning, 2 days later, the catkins were fully distended and are absolutely swamped in pollen. And the same was true of the trembling aspens. The quaking aspens had, I had taken a picture of a flower, of the male flower from a quaking aspen, and you could see the flower heads, the stamens that were tightly closed on Friday. By Monday, when I got back from the cities, those same flower heads, those same catkins were completely distended, and those flower heads were wide open, and pollen was flying everywhere. And yesterday I went over and I checked my female aspens, and I was never aware of the difference between the two until this past year when I found these two female aspens that were in seed, that they were throwing off lots of seeds. So I knew they were females. So I marked them so I would remember where they were. And I checked them yesterday. And the catkins on those are about 1 inch long and pure white, just like weasel white or rabbit white. They are absolutely white. And the male catkins on all of the surrounding aspens were distended. They were 2 to 3 inches long, and they were gray. And they are, those are the male flowers. Now, if you want to differentiate the two, you may be able to go out and find those aspens in your yard that have kind of small catkins on them, like up to an inch long and not yet distended. Those will be, chances are those will be the females. Now, the best way to determine is to watch. And if you watch them for a while and all of the flowers fall off of the trees, those are males. So within the next week or so, those flowers are going to the tree is just going to go, you know what, you've thrown your pollen, it's time to be rid of you, and those male flowers will fall off of the trees. The female flowers will stay on the trees for at least a month, and during that time, they'll begin to stretch longer and longer and become ever more green until finally, just before the aspens leaf out, the female aspens are going to have these green catkins on them, and you're going to be looking at them maybe from a distance and think, boy, those trees are starting to leaf out. But just before leaf out, they have these green flowers. They're actually seed pods, and they are going to be quite spectacularly green probably mid-April. We're early this year. Everything I've been recording is at least a week, and in some cases, 2 weeks earlier than average. For instance, my lake, Crooked Lake, the ice went out on Crooked Lake last Tuesday, and that is 15 days early from my average record. So the 14th of April is typically the date that the ice goes out on Crooked Lake. And as was mentioned earlier this morning in an email from my good friend Art Norton, McGuire Lake over by Warba was open on the 30th as well. And Art and I both have noted that the loons are not back. And the reason the loons are not back is that in an average year, with the ice opening up around the 8th or 9th, usually about a week before the ice goes out, the loons show up and they start making trips from the river or from whatever open water they're on over my lake, Crooked Lake, or Arts Lake McGuire, or your lake, wherever you happen to be. And those loons are typically thinking that the water will be open on the 15th. The other year, 2012, when we had a really early spring and the lake opened up, it was 8 days before the loons came in from the time that the lake opened up. And I think in 2012, it was either the 23rd of March or the 24th of March. I can't recall right off the top of my head right now, but it was very early, a week earlier than this year. So, but this year is one of the top four on record. So 2012, 2010, 2000, and 2021 all kind of rank right up there as the warmest or earliest years for the lake to open, for my lake, Crooked Lake, to open up. I'm hearing more and more birds singing, and it is really quite nice. I have reports of robins being back in the area, and until a few days ago, I had not seen one. But on Saturday morning, I was out in the yard, and I heard one calling just as clear as a bell. It was unmistakable, the first robin singing in my neighborhood. I've heard great horned owls, sandhill cranes, geese, trumpeter swans. I've heard red-winged blackbirds are singing around my place. I have a flicker that has come to my suet. The ants aren't out in any great numbers right now, and so the flickers are looking for food. And this guy has come to the suet that I have out for the woodpeckers, and being a woodpecker, I guess he's entitled. So the flicker has been eating the suet here. Although yesterday I did find one of those black and red wood ants on me while I was walking through the woods. I also found a deer tick on me. So be careful out there. Pay attention and put a little pyrethrin around your clothing near your ankles, and tuck your pants into your boots or into your socks, and try to make it a little bit more difficult for the deer ticks to get on you, because they can be a real problem. My neighbor Marvin Beer has suffered from Lyme disease more than once, and you just have to be aware when you're outside that those deer ticks are there, and you have to make a careful check to make sure that you aren't harboring one or two of them as you get ready for bed at the end of the day. Ruffed grouse are drumming, mourning doves are calling. I put out millet for the mourning doves. They love millet, and so do the juncos. And last night I was looking out the window. There must have been 50 or more juncos in my front yard, along with a fox sparrow and the mourning doves, and they were all enjoying the millet that I'd thrown out for them. So just toss it on the ground and let them come. They will eat it most heartily and enjoying it. I was doing some investigating around my yard and out into the swamp. I was checking the leather leaf and the Labrador tea to see how they were developing, checking the tamaracks, and checking the black spruce. And in all those cases, there are buds apparent. The leather leaf has flower buds that are quite apparent, and I expect that may be blooming anytime now in the next week or two. Labrador tea will be a little bit further out, maybe toward the end of April. But the one that really interested me, and I had heard this before, that you can identify black spruce from white spruce, by the fact that black spruce typically grows in swamps and white spruce typically grows on high ground. But B, if you pull down one of the branches and get out at the end of the branch where the new growth is, last year's new growth, and look at it with a hand lens. On the black spruce stem, beneath the needles, you're going to see some very, very fine hairs. And they're not easy to see. You need a hand lens, or turn your binoculars around and use them backwards and use them as a hand lens that way. And you will see these fine hairs on the stems of the black spruce that are not present on the stems of the white spruce. So if you're in doubt and you want to try and confirm it for yourself, take your hand lens or your binoculars and take a good close look at the branch. And if you see those little hairs, you're probably looking at a black spruce. I've been checking out my trailing arbutus. It is doing well, and the flower buds are starting to form up, but so far no flower buds or no flowers. I would expect that we're going to need a bit more warm weather, maybe a week, maybe 10 days before we see flowers on the trailing arbutus. The same is true of the hepaticas by my house. I went and looked at the hepaticas yesterday, and there are flower buds on them, but I suspect it'll be a little while before they come up and actually bloom. I saw my first American kestrel this past week, as well as the flicker I mentioned, and the robin. So birds are definitely coming back to this area. And I mentioned that the hazel, both the beaked and the American hazel, the catkins are fully distended and yielding pollen when struck. The flowers are, the female flowers are out and accepting pollen. They are at their peak of bloom right now. And the same cannot be said of the speckled alders. The speckled alders I checked this week, there was no pollen. And there appears to be, the flowering appears to have happened already on speckled alder. I don't think that there are too many speckled alder left in flower in this area. I had my first mosquito yesterday, and Marvin Beer told me that he had two or three the night before. Marvin also mentioned that he had seen his first bumblebee this past week. So the bumblebees are out. Checking the pussy willows around the area, they're still pretty tight up here. They're starting to look a little gray, but down around the cities, they were looking absolutely yellow. And that usually indicates pollen and the peak of the bloom for the willow. They aren't there yet up here. The bumblebees and the butterflies that are flying around are going to be needing those pollen sources very soon. So keep an eye on those flowers that are yielding pollen and see if maybe you don't see some butterflies and bumblebees sort of frequenting them to get that necessary energy to get their lives going again this spring. I saw a lot of butterflies this past week, and John Pastor from Duluth, a retired professor of biology in Duluth, the author of a book called What Should a Clever Moose Eat? And I highly recommend that book. It is a very good book about northern Minnesota's ecology. But at any rate, he mentioned in an email to me that this was the season for the Compton's tortoiseshell, the morning cloak, and I saw both of those yesterday. Infant moth, it's a little, you're going to think it's a little butterfly. It's a little orange and black moth that flutters around like a butterfly and seldom sits for very long, if at all. And if you see this thing, it's got about a 1-inch wingspan. And what you're going to see is kind of this dark little moth. But if you get a look at it, you'll see that it has bright orange on its back wing, on its upper wings. Its dorsal side of the wing is has some bright orange patterning on it. That's the infant moth. You may also see a comma, a gray comma, or the green comma butterfly. You may see a Milbert's tortoiseshell, though I haven't seen one yet, but they are also, all of those butterflies, the morning cloak, the Comptons, Milbert's, the commas, they all overwinter as adults. And so it's common that we would see them this time of year. Bloodroot, my bloodroot is up now to the point where I can see the individual leaves sort of cupping the stem. They're still tight. A week ago, it was just a shoot. It looked like an asparagus shoot coming out of the ground. This week, it's kind of, you can see the individual leaves that are sort of laying up against the stem and the bud. And they haven't begun to open up yet, but by next week, I would expect that they'll be in flower. Juneberry buds are breaking. So if you have Juneberry in your yard, you may want to walk out and have a look at them and see if you don't see some of that, those buds breaking. The big tooth aspen. So we've been talking about trembling aspen and how far along they are in their flowering. The big tooth aspen just began to break their first furry buds. So the male flowers on the big tooth aspen are just starting to come out. And the balsam poplar, the balm of Gilead, the cousin of the big tooth and the trembling aspen, has not yet begun to open its flowers at all. So just a heads up on those guys. And finally, I still have a beautiful, beautiful flock of evening grosbeaks, and I couldn't be happier about that. I don't know when they're going to head north, but until they do, their yellow and black and white little bodies are more than welcome at my bird feeder. That's the Phenology Show for this week. If you have comments or questions, observations you'd like to share, please, you can get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you.